It is Monday, and that means it's time for the Allstate CEO Spotlight. And this morning, we focus on an area of the economy that is booming. It is the pet industry. Billions and billions of dollars in that. And yes, Chicago has a role in this. A Chicago startup has been in operation for a couple of years, getting ready to go for another round of funding. And this morning, we're happy to have the CEO and founder of FetchFind.com. Jamie Migdal is with us this morning. FetchFind, for all intents and purposes, is sort of like a Nancy's List for dogs and pets in the pet industry. We'll get into that in just a moment. But first of all, Jamie, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell. Good to have you. I know you're a dog person. I know you love dogs. And I'm sure that's sort of what drives you on a daily basis. It's generally the question I start with the CEOs. What gets them out of bed? What drives you? But I have a feeling that's what's it.
Well, many things for sure. My love of people, my love of what turns out to be entrepreneurship, my love of, you know, of being creative and collaborative. Those things I think play a huge role. But to get down to the essence, that one moment, the defining moment, was I used to work in a group home for duly diagnosed women, and so I was a case manager. So I would have 8-hour shifts. Many times, because I was one of the younger case managers, I would spend the night, and that would be my shift, the 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift. And, you know, the house was full of about 10, 12 women, and most of the time there's lots of strife. They were all fairly sick, but really, you know, transitioning to getting better, hence the group home. Anyway, so there was a no animal policy, of course, and one night I was doing my overnight shift, and I heard a cat meowing in the back of the house in the parking lot. So I, of course, because I mean I'm a clearly established animal lover. This wasn't the moment I loved animals. Right. I'd already very much embraced my love of animals. Went out to the parking lot, brought the cat in, snuck the cat in, put the cat in my office. Was going to take him home in the morning. His name was Jerry, by the way. I named him Jerry. And the next morning, the residents started getting up, coming down to the office for their meds, checking in. And normally it's a kind of a cold, kind of a hectic period where they're getting their meds and checking in for the morning. And they saw the cat. And so one at a time, they'd walk into my office, they'd see the cat. And instead of asking for their meds, they transformed in front of me. And that's not an exaggeration. They literally transformed. One would come in, sit down on the floor. The next would come in, sit down on the floor. And pretty soon, within about 20 minutes, I had 5 or 6 residents sitting down on the floor playing with this cat. I saw things in that moment that I'd never saw before. I saw them being relational. I saw them being kind to each other. I saw them being selfless. I saw just beautiful things about their personalities. And I knew that those things existed in them, which is why I did the job in the first mm-hmm. place. And I lobbied to have the cat, of course, become a resident, which didn't go over very well, but I was able to bring the cat back in for visits. And it was at that moment where I really noticed and I realized, even though I knew I always wanted to work with people, it was at that moment that I realized I wanted to be in a space where I can impact and influence and be a part of that dynamic between human and animal.
And then we fast forward to today when we have pets being prescribed by doctors, literally being prescribed by doctors to help people with their blood pressure and depression. And pets have become such a huge part of people's lives. Did you expect that back then? Would you have ever imagined that we would all find that secret that you found that day? That I think most people who have pets already kind of get.
You know, it's funny. That's a great question. And, of course, I'm grateful that that's been the case, right? When I started in the pet industry, we had a $17 billion industry. Now we're looking at $63 billion, right? So clearly that's been the trajectory. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess that's a great question. I think that if I had to really study that question and give you an answer that had some thought behind it, I'm not surprised that this is the trend. And I think we're seeing it ramp up. I think every month, every year, it gets even more and more intense in terms of our recognition of the power of animals. So I'm not surprised. I'm so thrilled. I'm thrilled that that's the case. And I think we're just touching the surface of what this relationship with animals could really be.
And that brings us to FetchFind, because you know, you've mentioned a lot of zeros there in those figures. And it seems like this would be an area that's ripe for businesses. FetchFind has been around now for a couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. And you're doing a third round of funding.
Second, right?
Second round of funding. Right. So is it a place to be, and are you happy that you're there?
Yeah, it's funny. I think of it, and I just kind of really started talking in this space where I recognize very clearly as we've been growing our model and looking at how we're going to scale and looking at where we fit in this giant space, that this is a space that really is ripe for innovation. You know, it's a new space. I mean, the space 17 million 20 years ago, or 17 billion, 17 billion, and 60 some odd billion today, that means that there's been a lot of change and moving and shifting, and we haven't really caught up to it yet. We're still trying to figure out what that landscape looks like. Those of us in the industry, we're trying to assess what that looks like. And so FetchFind is exactly the right, we're at exactly the right time and the right place to be able to be impactful, but also scale a company that is able to service folks who want to get into the industry or grow businesses that are already in the industry.
I remember when you first launched, I remember seeing it and thought, this is at the perfect time, because now that we're at that moment where everybody's thinking about it, you were already there laying the groundwork for it. Do you feel like that you're in a good point to take advantage of all of this business?
Oh, 100%. And I wouldn't, and I'll be honest, I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't. Yeah. You know, I'm a good enough entrepreneur at this point that I recognize when there's an opportunity or when there's just being a petulant child around an opportunity, meaning just do it even if it doesn't make sense. And I am so clear, as is my team, we're so clear on the massive opportunity in our position to be able to do it, because we know the space so well. You know, this is my fourth startup in the space. And so I can do this, and I know what people want, and I know what people need, and I know what they don't have access to. And it's easy to scale a business if you have if you know what the market needs and you know what they don't have yet, then you can scale a company.
Because when you go out and ask for funding, it's one thing I'm learning about this as somebody who started covering the startup and innovation world, is that when you go and ask for money, people know immediately, the people, the investors, the angels, whoever it is you're asking, know immediately if you are giving them a line, if you know your stuff, and if you have a clear plan. Do you feel like that there were challenges getting to that point? Did you have challenges getting to that focus? And what were they, and what advice would you give other people about that?
Another great question, by the way. And yes, of course, my first three companies were bricks and mortar. Mm. So it was a very traditional business model. You know, you do some marketing, you bring customers in, cash flow positive, you know, you kind of churn out the customers, give them more things to buy, services. And it came very easy. When I transitioned to this digital space at FetchFind, I wasn't aware of what I needed to prove. Right, because to me, I'm an expert. I'm a great entrepreneur. I'm an opportunist. Like, clearly, this is going to be, everyone's going to see that. And everyone's going to throw checks at me, and customers are going to come banging down the doors. And what I've learned is that it's more than that. It's more than that. So to answer your question, I've had to learn a lot about how to position the opportunity that makes sense for people. Because I think when you're an expert in a field, and I think that when you're doing something that you feel passionate about, you assume that others see that so clearly. And what I've learned through, I have incredible advisors, I have incredible mentors, and what they've really been pushing me towards understanding, and I'm really there now, is you still need to lead people to it. You still need to show them the opportunity clearly, even if it already makes sense to you, and even if it's authentic and it just comes out of your pores, you still need to say, this is A, this is B, and this is going to be C. And so just now, as we're doing this new round, I'm able to do that in a much more meaningful, much more provocative way. And I think that's how we're going to be successful in our fundraising. And that's how we're going to be successful scaling the company as well. So great question.
When people ask me about FetchFind, when I tell them about it, and correct me and change it if I'm wrong, but I always say it's sort of like Angie's List for dogs. Is that a fair way to describe FetchFind?
So you're not the first person to describe that that way. People have liked to talk about it being Angie's List or LinkedIn. Really what it is, it's a marketplace. Mm. You know, so it's a marketplace for anyone that wants to work with animals or already does to buy, sell content, right? So we're a content marketplace. And so there's a space where we're able to say the companies who are buying content in our marketplace, they're the best of the best. And they'll earn what we're going to be launching as a FetchFind approved program. So they'll earn their FetchFind approved seal, and they'll be able to put that on their website and put the decals in their windows. So yes, there's certainly a component. And I think I love that you came to that. But really, we're a buy sell marketplace. We make our money with the content that we do. We create content because, of course, we've got 20 years worth of it to digitize. Mm-hmm. But then we also go out and look for great experts and content providers, and we bring their content on and we sell for them as well.
As a pet person myself, I think people have come to this realization, and some of them, unfortunately, so that you can't trust everybody who sells you a pet product. And I think part of that has to do with pet treats being so deadly lately, mm-hmm. In the past couple of years, but also from people who've hired dog walkers, who've not really taken care of their animals and their pets. And to have that seal, to have that approval, to find a place to say, okay, somebody's already cut through that stuff and found me the perfect person, is what I think everybody's looking for.
Oh, that's why we started the company. That's exactly why we started the company, because of being a professional in the space, looking at the low barrier to entry. And there is a low barrier. You know that as a pet owner, as a pet lover, anyone could quit their job tomorrow and be a dog walker, mm-hmm. right? Anyone could quit their job tomorrow and start making dog treats. Mm-hmm. Anyone could do that. There's literally no barrier because there's no state licensing. The only licensing that you need is to be a veterinarian or a certified veterinary technician. So to be anything else across any of the other service verticals, you can go do it tomorrow. So we saw that that was a problem. Right, we saw that that was a problem, that people need education. Because you know what? It's not just about servicing the clients and servicing the animals, but it's also about safety and mm-hmm. public safety. There are, unfortunately, 6 million dog bites a year, right? And a lot of those are to service providers who don't know what they're doing. And so FetchFind was really, we thought we needed to get this information out to all of these 125,000 independent businesses so they know how to handle animals. They know what to look for. They know how to talk to customers about the animals. So that's really exactly right. It's not just... Because loving animals isn't enough to start a company. Mm-hmm. It's not enough to work with them. You need education. You need information. And that's really what we do best.
Then people will ask, well, what is the process for giving that seal of approval? And is that where you play off of your experience? Because I know just my knowledge of you, having been one of a customer from one of your other companies before, you've trained my dog Murrow with Canine Link, sure. which is one of, I know there's the expertise there that you have a staff. How would you respond to that to people? I mean, what is the due diligence that you do on people to make sure that they get that seal?
Sure. So one of the things that we obviously need them to do is go through our courses. And we have our platform is a learning management system. So we're actually able to have the metrics to make sure that those companies and their employees are actually watching the videos, taking the quizzes and passing the quizzes. So we know that they've actually looked at the information, they've engaged the information, and they're absorbing the information. So once we say that that's been done, then we can go ahead and give them the seal of approval. So it's with those metrics and with that dashboard, it's black and white for us. It's black and white. Obviously, we also check on their, we check their Yelp reviews. We do some other things too in terms of our criteria. But for us, it's very important. Listen, if you become a Fetch Find subscriber and you're looking at our content and you're using our content, then we know that that means that you are completely committed to this industry and you're committed to public safety, to animal safety, to good customer service ethics, good customer service standards. We'll give you the seal. In fact, we're just about to launch our seal with a Chicago company here. Actually, they're a national company now, Paradise for Paws mm-hmm. and Pooch Hotels. So they're our first company that's going to come out with the seal.
And you mentioned the name there, and it's everything has a pooch, everything has a paws, but not everything is safe for those paws and pooch. I mean, it's really scary when you think about it. Is it something that maybe someday you'd like to see changed, or maybe you're already trying to get it changed in states like Illinois, where we treat dogs as livestock still, or the agriculture department still in charge of them, and there's that sort of ideal behind having a pet?
So that's been a conversation, right? Because in the industry, we talk about the difference between using the word pet owner, pet parent, pet. You know, there's all of this language, and with that become when you use language is powerful. And of course, in the state of Illinois, animals are property. Mm-hmm. At this point, to be perfectly honest, I think that is something that I think organically that's going to change. I think the more, just like what we were talking about a few minutes ago, the more that we're identifying animals as being a conduit to so many wonderful things, the more that we see their value, the more that we value them, then I think that that's going to happen. I hope it happens quickly, but I think it's going to be, I think we can't push that. I think that it's too ingrained that animals are not necessarily, we have to get there slowly. And I think that something like Fetch Find, and I think that education, I think that knowledge and awareness, I think that that's the way that we can get there faster. It's hard for me to weigh in on whether I think animals should be deemed a particular category of being. I think it's just important that people who have animals, people who work with animals, people who love animals, stand up for the animals and stand up for what they believe in. And I think, again, it'll happen.
And I think over the last 5 years, we've seen that. We've seen the puppy mills go away, or at mm-hmm. least dogs no longer bought in puppy mills could be sold in stores. You can now break a window to get a dog who's in a hot car without being charged with a felony, or with, you know, there are new felony charges for people that do that. So I think we're moving in that direction. It seems hopeful.
That's exactly my point. I love that you brought those couple of examples up, but that's exactly what you're saying. I mean, at this point, if you talk about buying your puppy at a puppy store, most people will come to you and say, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you rescue? Why wouldn't you do better investigation about humane practices for breeding? So I love that that's a very common thing to come to at this point.
This is a business show, obviously, so I'm going to ask you a question about how you make money. I mean, how when you go out and sell this to investors, as you're doing now, how are you going to become a profitable company? How will you make money?
Sure, we make money very, very simple, actually. Yeah. We make money three ways. One is we sell subscriptions to our content, mm-hmm. and that's $59 a month for any business. We have 125,000 businesses here in the U.S. that we sell to. That doesn't include the big box stores. That's a whole other animal.
Yeah.
That's one way. The other way we make money is on content, curated content. So people who sell their content through our platform, we take a revenue share. And then, of course, we also sell sponsorships and advertising. So those are the three ways we monetize our platform.
As a CEO, I haven't talked to anybody yet who's worked for you who said a bad thing about you. Mm-hmm. And I remember coming to visit you once and being greeted at the door by dogs. And you and friendly, and it just seemed like a wonderful place to work. Does the attitude you set as the CEO with that motivate the rest of the people around you, or is it sort of a collective that just comes to that?
I think first of all, thank you for the compliment, and I would like to think that I have great folks around me, and I think that just happens when you're, I think that's attraction, and I think that I've been really lucky over the last 20 years through all my companies to attract incredible talent. Smart people, gifted people, driven, enthusiastic folks. But I do think that everything starts with the CEO for sure. My biggest nightmare, do you want to hear my biggest nightmare? That someone would be afraid to walk into our office because of any reason. I want them to think I want them to know that the dogs that are going to greet them are friendly, that the people are going to greet them with a smile on their face, and that any ideas they have or any thoughts they have are welcome. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess, you know, I don't know. I'm a people person. It started out with me being a people person. So it would just stand to reason that as I grow companies, that it's still part of the fabric what's most important to me. My team is the most important thing to me, without question.
When I have CEOs in, I always ask them, because there are a lot of really cool apps and other startup things that have really cool names. And I have to say, most of them have when I asked, how did the name come about? They say, it was painful. We struggled. It was horrible. I don't get the sense that you did at all with the Fetch Find. I mean, what an awesome name, first of all. And did you struggle with it?
So listen, I have a memory about 2 years ago sitting in a coffee shop in Edgewater with called my best colleagues and the most the smartest, most creative people I know in the pet space, and said, everyone come to this coffee shop. Meet me at 5 o'clock. We're going to come up with a name. And we sat there for about 6 hours. We took out index cards. We brainstormed. It was an amazing, probably one of my favorite experiences in startup mode was this kind of just brainstorm of all of these passionate people, artists and writers and thinkers and pet professionals and CEOs. And it was incredible. So because I had that working for me, it wasn't painful. It was beautiful. Of course, making the final decision, you're always thinking about the branding and kind of making sure that the messaging is going to be, you're going to be able to create the right messaging and keep it tight. But Fetch Find is exactly the right name. Fetch something, find something. It is just, to this day, I could not love it more.
And
I would tattoo it on myself. I love it that much.
It happened in a day?
Just
a few hours? Six hours?
Listen, after that brainstorm session, I went home with all of those index cards, sat on the floor of my apartment, and looked through all of the names and just kind of started putting them together within a couple of days, for sure.
Because I've talked to CEOs of companies that have gone through months and even years of coming up. It is one of the biggest hurdles, they tell me, of getting to that point where they launch, where they become go out and be publicly known.
This is my fourth company, so we have to say that I have some experience, right? Yeah, building, yeah. Writing, you know, coming up with names and thinking of branding. I love that. I love marketing and sales. So for me, it's really easy for me to get into the customer headspace and think about what's going to work, because all of my other companies, which are still obviously, as you know, operating and national now, you know, those names work. So I believe that I have a good sense on that.
I think like me, some of our audience is not completely familiar with the process of startups. And so when we say you're in the second round of fundraising, what does that mean? And is it an important, if you could explain it to our listeners, an important milestone? And is it or will it become a roadblock?
Again, a great question. So startup, even when I started my first three companies, I think that this is important just to say this, because I think that there's a misnomer when someone says they're a serial entrepreneur. In fact, I think that that is overused. And I also think that when people say serial entrepreneur, what they're saying is I tried a bunch of stuff and it hasn't worked yet. Mm-hmm. So I always like to say I've had three successful companies. This is the fourth. I am still a serial entrepreneur. But what I have been learning in the digital space is that there is a different process. When I first came up with the idea to digitize our content and build a marketplace, I knew I needed some capital. I put my own money in as well, mm-hmm. But I knew I needed some extra capital. I also wanted the support as well. It's always nice to have, you know, support from people who believe in you. And what better support than to have people write you checks?
Yeah.
So when we did our first round, which was a small round at $440,000, we took that money. We knew we would use that to figure this out. Right. We made no promises. We said we hardly even had a deck put together. I think our first 100,000 came in without a name. We didn't even have Fetch Find as a name at that point. It was just the idea. And I felt really comfortable doing that. What I've learned now, and as we scale the company, we have traction, we have customers, we have revenue, we have a waiting list of vendors to come and be onboarded onto the platform, which is phenomenal. I wanted to wait. So I knew we needed to raise money again. I knew we needed to raise money about 8 months ago. It was obvious that our runway was shrinking, mm-hmm. and that we can only live on so much. We needed to be very careful. But I did not, and a lot of people don't agree with this. They do not agree. I was not going to go back out to fundraise until I had something to show. I wasn't going to fundraise on smoke and mirrors. I wasn't going to fundraise on we're going to do this. I was only going to fundraise on look what we've done and look where we're going. Mm-hmm. And so once we were able to do that, so we launched the platform in January and we just opened our roundup, you know, mid-July. I wanted to show we're number one rank on Google. We have 10,000 active users. I wanted to show this stuff before I asked anyone to write me a check, because that's just, I wouldn't write a check for it. I don't want anyone else to be put in the position of having to wonder. I want to show them, look, this is what I'm able to do. This is the capability we have. And not only can I do it, I am doing it. So for me, fundraising at this point, especially for second stage, for me, I wasn't going to fundraise until I can show somebody that we are worth that we are worth believing in, and that we're going to use the money wisely.
You obviously believe in what you're doing, and others who are giving you money do too. And I'm betting that you've already probably in your own mind thought beyond this about what you're going to do next.
I have.
In terms of where Fetch Find goes.
Sure.
Can you share any of that with us?
A little bit. I can share. You know, it's funny. I just had a conversation with an investor over the weekend talking. Literally, she asked mm-hmm. me this question. And I have a dream. I have a dream. I really do have a dream that after we've scaled FetchFind and we've had and we're at a certain point in revenue, we'll call it $10 million in revenue top line. What I would like to do at that point then is create an incubator of sorts for the pet industry, where we put together an accelerator program for folks that are looking to bring their products to market, their services to market, their platforms to market, that we create a space for that. And we do some, you know, initial angel investing around that idea and support those folks. I mean, I think we're the right people to do that as well. And I think that that plays really well with our marketplace, because we can also help to evangelize those companies within our marketplace. It doesn't require us having an exit to be able to do that. So that's, for me, you know, a wonderful next step. I don't know, you know, for me, that's also a bit of a excuse the comment, but a pet project. Right. But my goal is to someday be an angel investor for the pet space, and to help folks who have this passion and have this vision be able to grow their companies and bring their products to market.
And this is an amazing recurring theme here on the Opening Bell, is this. It seems like Chicago is becoming an incubator for incubators. We've had 1871, right. We have 2112, right. And now possibly a pet incubator in the future.
Yeah,
is there something about Chicago that is just right? Are the ingredients just right for entrepreneurs and startups?
I don't know. know. That's a great question. I feel like I've been really fortunate to be in a deeply involved in the entrepreneurial space. I'm an 1871 company, of course. I don't think it's been the case. I think it's becoming the case, to be perfectly frank. I don't think it's been that this is the greatest place in the world to do a startup. I don't think that I would have not said that. And I don't know if I still say that. Mm-hmm. What I do say is that there's great people here. There's great potential. There's great opportunity. There's great talent. You know, obviously, Chicago is a magnificent city. There are all of the ingredients. I think we're still figuring that out. Also, being a woman in digital, there's a whole other conversation, perhaps. It's a whole other conversation. But I think that being a female as well, there's lots of things that we're learning as we go. And, you know, there's lots of new funds cropping up that are just for women. So it's still hard to tell. I'm still kind of looking at the landscape and figuring out what the answer to that question is, because I don't know. I feel great. I have great folks here, and 1871 has been amazing for me. And I definitely recommend anyone coming into the space as an entrepreneur and doing a startup in Chicago looks for great resources and doesn't do it on their own, because there's just no reason to.
And the trends seem to be that there's money out there just waiting.
That does seem to be the case. Yeah. Let's hope so. truthfully, my fellow entrepreneurs and I certainly hope that that's the case. But I do believe that. I think there's money for companies that are going to be that are doing the right things.
Do you? We'll end this. Maybe sort of cheating in a way? Do you take your dogs to these fundraising things and let them do the talking? Because I can imagine one of those dogs just hitting the right person in the right spot.
So that's
a check.
That's a funny question, because, of course, a lot of fundraising we do are in non-dog-friendly spaces, right? We have meetings at 1871 or investors' offices, what have you. But if I can, I will invite potential investors to come to the office. Number one, because I want them to see what we're doing, sure. Who we are, how we live, I think it's important. But you better believe that I'm going to be happy if there's a dog there. I want them to see the love, the authenticity. I want them to, and I want to see how they are with dogs too, because you know what? To this day, we've had 14 investors come in. Not one of them isn't a pet lover. I know that that's not smart to have that be a criteria for investors, and that's just been organic at this point, but I'd love to see that continue.
Do the dogs get a commission check if you?
Well, they get fed and walked, and they come to work with me, so that's their form of, can they get lots of love, of love.
Well, best of luck to you. We're so excited that you're in with, again, fetchfind.com, and we wish you all the success going forward.
Thank you so much, Steve. I really enjoy this. I really appreciate the opportunity.
That's Jamie Migdal, the CEO of fetchfind.com. You can find them on Twitter @fetchfind.